Church, welcome. Kickoff. Yeehaw. Awesome. You have to do it now, Pam, because they did it. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Yes, Pam. Yes. Give it up for Pamela. Oh, that's great, church. Well, welcome here. Listen, if you're a new student, if you're new to town, you're a new young adult here, going to the university or the college, I would love to meet you after the service. We got a great big party going, carnival going on there, out there. But I would love to meet you. I'm Luke. I'm one of the pastors here, and I get the privilege of hanging out with all of our young adults. So please come and say hi. I look forward to meeting you.
Yeah, I'm Pam. I'm the director of care ministries here. If you're new to us, come say hello. I'd love to meet you. I take care of things like divorce care and grief recovery and meal support, that kind of stuff. So if you want to serve in that way, let me know. If you just want to connect, I'd love to say hello this morning.
Awesome. Well, as Pam and I were talking about the miracle of the 5,000, the one thing that kept sticking out to us, and the one thing that we loved about the early ministry of Jesus is just the curiosity of the people who encountered him. Just curiosity. Look at verse 2. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs that he had performed by the healing of the sick. And I want us just for a moment just to dive into some of those conversations that crowd must have been having about this guy, Jesus. Right? Like, I could picture this conversation with a guy with his buddy. And he just says, hey, you remember that guy who had been paralyzed for like 38 years? Remember him? He used to hang out by that pool. Yeah, I saw him walking the other day. And I did like a double take when I walked past him. And then I did a triple take. And I just had to go and ask him, like, wow. And he just said, Jesus healed me. Right? This curiosity, who could this man possibly be?
And I can imagine sitting in that crowd, and anybody that was at the wedding feast in Cana would be watching Jesus in this moment and going, remember the wedding feast where they ran out of wine and Jesus' mom got up in his face about, you got to provide the wine. And he's like, it's not my time. And eventually he steps into the moment and he makes wine out of water, and not just any wine, like the best, the finest wine. And I can just imagine people going, oh man, I totally missed out. I should have gone to that wedding.
I knew I should have went to that wedding. Yeah, and now this, and I love this line, verse 12, 6:12. When they had all had enough to eat, when they all had their fill. I mean, this was no like plated meal. This was an all-you-could-eat buffet. Like, Pam and I would be sitting in the back, and they say that it says there's 5,000 men there. That's men. Right, so we're talking about like 15, 20,000 people there. So you could be in the back of this crowd, and you don't know what's happening, but the disciples are handing out bread, and the fish is incredible. And I could see Pam and I just eating, mouths are full, just slapping the table. Where did you get this bread? It's amazing. Right, and it begs that question, well, Jesus made it. Right, again, it's this simple curiosity of the crowd. Who is this man? And see, church, that's the point of the miracle. Just answering that question. Who is this man? And in this case, Jesus is the one who came to fill the need of the hungry. That's who he is. Jesus is the one who came to fill the need of the hungry. But don't miss this, church. To Jesus, the need of the people, what the people were hungry for was not actually food. Look what Jesus says in verse 27 after the miracle. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. See, Jesus didn't want them just to see that he was a great cook. He wanted them to see that they had a deeper hunger in their life that was not filled. One truth about the reality of just being us, just being human, is that we all have needs. We have relational needs, physical needs, emotional needs, mental health needs. Life has a lot of needs.
You are needy, Luke.
My wife would say the exact same thing. But we all have needs. And because of these needs, we have longing. We have a hunger. We have this hunger to be filled and to be satisfied. But according to Jesus, The problem is that we think that this longing, this hunger, can be filled by things of this world. And I hope today, church, that you recognize and that you know that your need is not for something, but indeed for someone.
Amen.
And it's a need for Jesus. Amen?
Yeah.
What Jesus wanted the people to see and to hear is that there is actually a greater need in humanity that is beyond the physical. It's beyond emotional. It's a spiritual need. It's a need for you to be reconciled with your Creator. And until you're reconciled with Him, like the crowd who left and dispersed, you will constantly be looking for the next fill. You see, church, Jesus indeed came to fill the need of the hungry. I can remember a number of years ago when I was 20 years old and I went on this trip down south with the Salvation Army and we ran these kids camps out of the local church down there, and we used to drive the van around to pick up the kids in the local neighborhood. And this one kid I'll never forget, because I got to see him from a long way off, and he started walking toward the van, and as he walked down the walkway there was these two guys that were sitting up on the cement fence. Fence, wall. And I remember this kid just timid and nervous and a little bit fearful. I remember he just kind of hung his head and he walked and he came to the van. And this neighborhood was quite poor. They lived in cement houses and they had curtains for doors and for windows. And I remember watching this kid and just being overwhelmed by the need. Like, what can we do for this kid? And I remember my mind went immediately to the socioeconomic need, the physical need. And yes, that matters. But I'll never forget when that kid came to camp and when that kid, I believe, encountered Jesus. The only way I could say this, church, is that that kid came alive. A kid who was filled with fear, with little hope, who was raised in some very difficult circumstances, was filled. And this shows me that there is a greater need in the human heart. And it's a need for Jesus. And church, we all have that need. We are all like that little kid. We just know how to hide it better. As Robert Fidler states, Robert is a residential school survivor. And now he works for the Reconciliation Committee. And he's a counselor working for his band. And he says this: we think that everything can be solved by solving the physical. We need to solve the socioeconomic need in this country. But what we've ignored is the spiritual need. Frankly, we need Jesus. And Robert testifies that Jesus not only changed his life and his direction, but also the life of his family. As Robert says, he healed my past and he set me free. This is what our country needs. This is what our world is hungry for. And there is only one person who can fill that need. Yes, indeed, we have physical needs, economic needs, relational needs, mental health needs, financial needs. But what Jesus wants us to see from this miracle is that there is a much deeper need in the human heart. There is a much deeper longing in the human heart. And that is one that only He can fill. Why? Because Jesus came to fill the need of the hungry.
Mr. Fidler's testimony is so powerful. Jesus came to fill the need of the hungry, and we are all hungry in this space, and I believe that we're hungry for intimacy with God. Mm. And Jesus knows that we will fill our hunger with a million other things when we believe that we don't have access to what we crave. Mm. We will fill our hunger with a million different things when we believe in our gut that we don't have access to the one thing that we crave. We live in a reality of unfulfilled need. Hunger is the human condition, and Jesus fills it. And so how does this account of Jesus feeding 5,000 people address our longing, address our hunger? And I'll be honest, this morning this is kind of going to be the Sparks Notes version of the feeding of the 5,000, because really the account goes all the way through to the end of verse 59. John is painting one cohesive picture, and you kind of got to read the whole thing, but we're just going to narrow in on a couple things this morning. John is trying to get us to see two things. who Jesus is and what it means to believe him. This account was written to first century Jews. It wasn't actually written to us. And so they have a perspective that we might not have. It might not be obvious to us. So I want to ask you one question this morning and just yell out the answer. If you are familiar with the Bible, when is one other time that God fed people with bread? Say, the Last Supper? In the desert. Jesus fed, God fed people with bread from heaven. And this is what Jesus is tying himself to at this point. Jesus is showing the people who he is. It's not obvious to us, but to them. They grew up, these kids, these men, these women, grew up with the story of Moses in the desert feeding the people with bread from heaven every day. And the miracle would have made them ask, is this one replacing Moses? And this one to replace Moses was actually prophesied as the one that would come to save them. And so I believe the people were asking, is this the one who is going to save us? And in verse 15, Jesus even knows that this is what they're asking because he says, the verse says, Jesus knew they were going to make him king by force. The longing of their heart was to be freed from the rule of Rome. They thought, this is going to be the thing that will satisfy. If this man will save us, our longings will be filled. Jesus senses this, and at this point in the story, he heads into the mountains and the disciples cross the lake. There's another miracle in here. Jesus crosses the lake. We're not going to land there today. In verse 25, we pick up the story, and the crowds come to Jesus. And verse 25 says that he knows already. They ask him, how did you get here? Or when did you get here? And he knows already. That's not the true question. They're asking about how they can get bread. And Jesus' response to them makes me wonder if the crowds had shifted overnight from, this is the man who's going to save us. Okay, he's not going to defeat Rome. He's not that kind of leader. But maybe he can just fill our bellies.
Because the bread's good.
Jesus' words, very truly, in verse 26, should have been a clue to them that he was going to say something really significant. Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate loaves and had your fill. Don't do work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Jesus is saying, you came looking for bread, you wanted a king, but I will feed you. Amen. Look for me. Amen. And I can imagine these people standing around, and Jesus says these words to him, and there's this moment of silence, like crickets in the background, because they just don't get it. And they don't get it because I think they operate on a paradigm of two truths. One is that they understood that the way of faith was the following of the religious law. And the other thing was that they actually weren't looking for God. They were just looking to be filled. Jesus wanted to move these people from the practice of the rules of religion to the practice of the work of God, which was belief. Jesus was saying to them, he's saying to us, more than you need to eat, you need to believe me. Amen. They ask him, what is it? What must we do to do the work of God? It's verse 28. What must we do to do the work of God? And Jesus answers, to do the work of God is this, believe in the one that sent me. Jesus' miracle is saying to them, you gave me your bread, and I showed you the kingdom of God. Imagine if you give me your life, what Amen. I could show you. Amen. But you aren't looking to proclaim good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, or speak hope into darkness, bring freedom and release. You just want to be full. And so I had to ask myself this week as I journeyed this, and I ask us today, what's your fill? What are you pursuing right now that is a substitute for the total abandoned belief of Jesus Christ? Are you pursuing a platform, a spouse, children, job promotion, recognition, to be smarter, to be prettier? Are you climbing a corporate ladder? I read this great blog this week, and in it, the author addressed what we do with this call to believe. It says, we reduce repent and believe to grovel and behave. Wow. We get stuck asking, what must we do the work God requires? We're not just asking about the work of God. We have this, the people around Jesus had it, and we have it. We latch onto this word, required. What is required of me? Wow. Can I just check the box? And we reduce our faith, our belief in Jesus to this. We lose our curiosity about who he is. People had come to Jesus because they were curious. And because we reduce our belief in Jesus to this checklist, we lose our curiosity in him. Glenda said it to both of us this week, that belief does not thrive in a formula. Jesus is not a formula. It's not about how much we serve in this place or any other place in our community. In our place of great hunger, Jesus gives us one call, one task, one requirement. Believe.
Amen.
And this call to us, this instruction, this work that we get to do is a beautiful call of Jesus' freedom for us. We get caught up in the hustle. I get caught up in the hustle. Seriously, it makes me long for heaven when I don't have to hustle and scramble anymore. Jesus says, step out of the hustle. Believe me. All that we crave is met in Jesus. And when we believe in Jesus, something happens that's totally out of our control. The kingdom comes. Amen. Timothy Keller says that every miracle that Jesus did was never about a display of abject power of this king. But they were moments that the kingdom of God broke through. When Jesus fed people, he was saying, this is what my kingdom is like behind the veil that you cannot see. The poor get fed. They get seen. The lame walk. Amen. People are healed. This is what it looks Amen. Like behind the veil. This is my kingdom. In John 14:12, Jesus says to us, and all of John's work, John's writing is that we would believe Jesus is who he says he is. And in verse 12, he says to us, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have done. And they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. When we believe Jesus, what follows is the kingdom of God. When we believe him, we end up doing the work that he does. We can't help it. It's a result of believing Jesus. It's true because he said it to us. The most significant work we can do is believe Jesus. Luke said it last week, our actions follow our hearts. And I want to add on to that this week, that our belief fuels our hearts. Amen. When we believe Amen. Jesus, the kingdom of God will break through. Today, what must we do to do the work of God? What must we do to be satisfied in this life that he has given us? We must believe in Jesus. Jesus is declaring to us today, if I can take a boy's lunch and bring my kingdom, surely I can take your life and bring my kingdom.
Amen.
And to this I say, Jesus, I believe you. Help my unbelief.
Amen, Beth. Praise God. Church, 5 loaves, 2 fish, and look what Jesus did. Imagine what he can do with your life. And your response is simply to believe. Pam, I just want to proclaim before you that Jesus is not done with your life yet.
Amen.
Jesus is not done with this church. Jesus is not done with our community. Jesus is not done with this world. He's not finished yet, church. And we're called to simply believe. Amen.
Yeah, we're going to pray together. I thought I would close with the words from Ephesians 3, verse 20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church, in this church, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
And in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
Amen.
Would you pray with me? Jesus, we are your people.
Yes, we are.
And we believe you. Please meet us in our unbelief today. If there are things that we are pursuing to fill us, I pray that you will reveal them to us and help us to let them go.
Yes, amen.
Help us to see our great need for you. Jesus, we can never be you, but we can be people in desperate need of you. So make us desperate
yes,
for
God.
You today.
Yes, God.